Let's pray. Father, we commit this time to you, even as we look into your word, even as we try and to understand how to connect with the Holy Spirit on a daily, continual basis. We ask that you will unpack the word, that you grant each of us a handle or handles to demystify this whole aspect so that we can walk confidently with you each day to know your guidance and to know the power of the Spirit to live victorious life. So would you help us this morning, sanctify everyone by the blood of the Lamb, by your word and your Spirit, as we thank you, committing this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're finishing the third part of this whole series this month, knowing and experiencing God. We did that regarding our Father God, regarding the Lord Jesus, and today on the Holy Spirit. There are two things I want to say first. Firstly, that the Holy Spirit is always in perfect unity with the Father and the Lord Jesus. There is absolutely no gap of difference between the three persons of the Godhead. There's perfect union, perfect accord, perfect oneness, perfect agreement. You know, generally we are taught to pray. We pray to the Father as led by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Alright, that's how we should all pray. And sometimes we hear people, they pray, Jesus, Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, alright? Is that okay? That's okay. Sometimes we hear people pray, Holy Spirit, and address Him directly. Is that okay? That's okay. But we must all be able to relate to all the three persons of the Godhead. I know in some of our journeys, some of us find difficulty in relating to the Father. And there are probably obstacles because of your earthly experience. That obstacle must be dealt with and removed. Otherwise, there is a hindrance of going to the Father. Some of us have got problems addressing and connecting and relating with the Holy Spirit. And some of the problems may be related back to the things that we have learned, which we need to unlearn. We need to bring everything that we have learned under the searchlight of Scriptures. So, as we mature in the Lord, I want to say this, as we mature in the Lord, we should be very fluid in relating to all the three persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If there's any problem, we need to deal with those obstacles, alright? So it's okay to pray and address any member of the Trinity, which is a mystery to us, but it is perfectly okay because there is perfect oneness in the person of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The second thing I want to say is that the Holy Spirit has always been at work from heaven to earth. In a lot of the translations, this doesn't come in clearly as in the New King James Version. Because it's translated word for word. Alright, let's read it together. 1 John 5, 7 and 8. 1, 2, 3. For there... the three that bears witness in heaven. Very clearly. Father God, the Word. Interestingly, it says the Son of God. It says the Word. Because the Word speaks. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Father. And the Word was God. Alright, so the Father God, the Word, the Holy Spirit. Alright, these three are one. And verse 8, and there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, again the Holy Spirit, the water. What is the water? Is the water of the living Word. The Word speaks. We are washed with the water of the Word. And then the blood. Whose blood? The blood of Jesus Christ. There is life in the blood. The blood always speaks. The Bible says the blood speaks from the blood of Abel, but there's the blood of Christ that speaks a better word in Hebrews 12. And these three agree as perfectly one. Okay? Pray that you grasp this very important key about the Holy Spirit, about the three persons of the Godhead as one. Today we're going to focus on this message of the benediction that we are familiar with. We all know the grace and truth of Jesus our Lord. We know the love of the Father God, which we must continually receive and experience. And we need to continually connect with the Holy Spirit, the communion of the Holy Spirit. This word koinonia, communion, in 2 Corinthians 13, 14, is also the word in union with, is also the word to abide with, to dwell with, to connect with, to stay in fellowship, alright? Whichever word that you find comfortable. It's basically to relate on a continual 24/7, 365. Today's message is very simple. There's two main headings. We need to know the anointing within.
within each one of us. And the bottom line of this first thing is to know that He wants to guide us 24/7, 365. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and He wants us to know Him. He wants to walk with us continually. All right. And the second thing we need to know is the anointing on or the anointing upon. This is for empowerment. For empowerment to minister and for empowerment to live a victorious life. Two very simple truths, two main headings, all right, and we're going to go to the sub-points to grasp these truths, all right. Know and experience the anointing within. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Everybody, 1, 2, 3. Or your body, my body, our physical bodies, we are a habitation place for the Holy Spirit. Don't you know that the Holy Spirit is in you? And the word I want to emphasize is the word in. Where exactly in you? In your spirit, in your heart. We are three-part being. We are spirit, soul, and body. How do we know He's in our spirit? 1 Corinthians 6:17. Our spirit and the Holy Spirit is one. It's perfectly one. Okay, so He's in our spirit. This is the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's repeated in 1 Corinthians 3:16. You are the temple of God. We are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you and in me. Okay? Now, this is only for believers from Pentecost. Only for believers from Pentecost. And this is part and parcel of the new covenant. The new covenant has been prophesied in various parts of the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, in the book of Ezekiel, and here is just one aspect of what is said of the new covenant. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. Verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you. As we hear the Word of God is like raindrops. It's like showers upon the grass, raindrops on the tender herbs. God will sprinkle clean water, and we shall be clean, and God will cleanse us from all filthiness, from our idols. Any God other than God Himself that comes into our life is an idol, and it is filthy, and it contaminates us. God says He will give us a new heart, a new spirit, when we are born again. John chapter 3, Nicodemus, you must be born again of water and the Spirit. To be born again means that our spirit man is revived. It is resuscitated to now connect with the living God. So our own spirit is born again. It is new. Alright, that's what it means in verse 26. And then in verse 27, God says, I will put my spirit, which is the spirit of the living God, which is the Holy Spirit, in you and in me. Okay? This is also known as the promise of the Father. In Acts 1 verse 4, Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit is poured upon them. This is also known as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is where I want to mention this very clearly. Some of us here, we come from different backgrounds, Pentecostal background, charismatic backgrounds, and sometimes, in my opinion, we use this phrase wrongly. We call this the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as if you have a lot of baptisms. No, there is only one baptism. Where is the scripture for it? Ephesians chapter 4. There is one Lord, one God, one baptism, one faith. When we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, spiritually we are baptized into the body of Christ. Alright? When the Holy Spirit dwells in you, we are placed in the universal body of Christ. And then this is magnified physically, or rather it is shown visibly physically in water baptism. In water baptism, what happens? We identify with Christ in His death and burial, and we are raised to new life with the Holy Spirit. Water baptism is the visible sign of our union with God. Just as for Israel, the visible sign of their covenant with God is circumcision. Circumcision is the physical evidence of the Jews, of Israel, having the covenant with God. For believers, for the church, the physical sign is water baptism. In this church, there are two sacraments which we emphasize. The Lord's Supper and the water baptism. And therefore, if you have been a believer, if you are an adult, a believer, and you're not water baptized, you are disobedient. Okay? The next baptism is on the first weekend of August. We have three baptisms a year. Resurrection Sunday, the first weekend of August and Christmas Day. Alright, so that we can remember it and celebrate it every year. Alright, so a gentle reminder, if you have been a believer, you are 13 years and above and you have not been water baptized, please sign up for the next water baptism. So there's only one baptism. The church began at Pentecost, the church will end at the rapture. The duration of the church is 2 days. A day is 1,000 years. It began exactly at Pentecost, it will end exactly at the rapture. Alright? I won't go into that. For details of that, look into the other message about the end times, about the timeline. The anointing within is permanent. That means the Holy Spirit dwelling in the believer is permanent. John 14, 16 and 17. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, He give you another helper like Jesus, that He may abide with you forever. Forever means forever. Alright? And then in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, He says, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit is given to every believer as a deposit, guaranteeing the redemption to come. Guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption. What is the redemption? The redemption is when we have the new resurrected body. Alright? One step back. Big picture. Big picture, there are three things. Always remember. We were justified. We have the righteousness of God when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. When we are born again. It's called justification. Peace with God. Now we are being sanctified. This is our discipleship journey. To grow in our faith, to grow in our walk with God, to grow in our spirituality. Then there will be the glorification, also known as redemption. When this physical body will be returned to dust and we're given the new resurrected body. I don't know about you, but I long for the new resurrected body. This body gets tired. The energy level of this body is going down. Alright? I want to slow it down. Anti-aging. Alright? This body, the hair gets thin and thinner as you grow older. This body, you know, and all those things, alright? You know, right? So we want and long for the new resurrected body. The purpose of the anointing within is to know the presence of God, to walk in holiness and godliness. The same verse, Ezekiel 36, 27. I will put my spirit in you to cause you, to persuade you, to incline your heart to walk in my statutes, in the commandments of the Lord. And you will keep my judgments and obey them and do them. The purpose of the anointing within. God wants to guide us. He wants to instruct us. He wants to teach us to walk in the ways of God. Another word for statutes, ordinances, judgments, commandments is known as the ways of God. So that we will live victorious lives. So that we will always be blessed. So that all the problems and obstacles in our life, we will ride over them smoothly. There are still problems and obstacles in our life because we live in a fallen world. So that we will be the head and not the tail. We will always be on top of the situation and not below. This is the presence of God always with the believer in all circumstances and situations in your life. When Jesus was born, He was given the name Emmanuel, God with us. And Hebrews 13:5, He promised us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I was having tea with this 70-odd-year-old pastor. And I was just asking me, how do you maintain your spirituality? I said, you're a faithful, godly man. He says, intentional walk with God, and specifically intentional meditation of God. Intentional meditation of Scriptures. Many of us worry. We know how to worry, right? We worry about our lives, we worry about our income, we worry about our jobs, we worry about our relationships, we worry about our children, alright? We spend energy. We worry is when we think over what will happen, what if this won't happen, how come, alright? We worry, right? Worry is a negative example of what meditation is. So strictly speaking, if all of us know how to worry, all of us know how to meditate. To meditate is to ponder, to think about, to consider, to muse over the Word of God, the promises of God, the ideas of God. Same. It's the positive application. So instead of worrying, meditate. And this is where how we know the presence of God. The presence of God is with us in trouble, in conflicts, in difficulties. Isaiah 43 verse 2. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. He promises us, if you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you.
Someone wrote to me this email. That's about less than 2 weeks ago. He came to church to connect with somebody to give him a ride for a dinner. All right, somewhere in Orchard Road. And then he came in a taxi and was in a rush, okay? And in the process of when the taxi arrived downstairs, he paid the taxi driver. All right, he got out of the car. All right, he went, I don't know, to the office or the Hallelujah Quadrant to meet with the contact that will send him for the dinner. Then, oops, he realized he lost his mobile phone. The mobile phone slipped out of his pocket into the seat of the taxi. Panic. How? Pray. All right, and he prayed. Oh, what should we do? Okay, what taxi was that? Red, blue, green, yellow, Uber. All right. It was the NTUC. So he said, let's call. So he called the headquarters of this NTUC taxi. All right. And then they don't know how. So 1 minute, 5 minutes passed, 10 minutes passed, 15 minutes passed. All right. Next thing, Pastor William came to this guy. Hey, this is your phone. This is where you get it from. The taxi driver. The taxi is back here. So from the prayer, from the crying out to God, God intervened, sent an angel, speak to the taxi driver, look behind, saw a phone, go back to BBTC. Not to Bukit Batok Town Council, where they're going to have election this Saturday. BBTC is Bethesda Bedok Tampines Church. Alright, so he came back. Okay? So this leader got his mobile phone. This is the presence of God always with the believer in the valley of the shadow of death. I've shared before. When someone knows the Lord, he will go in peace. Many of us, we still have got pre-believing parents or grandparents who do not know the Lord. Keep on praying for them. Keep on sharing the gospel. Keep on laying hands upon them. All right? And in the last 2-3 minutes, it is very crucial. It's either an angel waiting to usher them into the presence of God or a demonic spirit waiting to usher them into the gates of Hades. Keep on praying for them, for the light to shine. Like the psalmist declared, Lord, you are with me even in the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Wherever the presence of God is always the safest place. The purpose of the anointing within is to know the presence of God. To walk in holiness. And which is why we are instructed in Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The anointing within is for us to have fellowship, to dwell with Him, to abide with Him. And in Ephesians 4 and 5, we are told that there are a list of things that will grieve the Holy Spirit. He says when we hurt one another, we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we don't speak the truth in love, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. When we lie, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. When we cheat, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. I met this pastor the other day and he was sharing with me, this China lady just came to know the Lord. And before she knew the Lord, she worshipped the God of hell. Alright, I don't know what that is. And then, she didn't either, alright. And then, they did a follow-up work to give her the assurance of salvation. And then in the house, she found out that there are a lot of paraphernalia relating to the God of hell. Okay, now this lady is totally new and unaware. Alright, it's okay, let's keep them around, you know, alright, in case the God of hell won't attack her. Alright. Then he says, no. The Holy Spirit in her is the spirit of jealousy. We know this in James chapter 4. He's also known as the spirit of jealousy. There is one God, and in the Ten Commandments, we know very clearly you should worship the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You shall have no other gods and idols. So he began to teach her from the Word of God. All right. In the past, she was ignorant. Now that she knows, and she started, okay, let's gather all the stuff, collect all the stuff in the house. The things that can be burned, burned. The things that can be smashed and destroyed, destroyed. But there's only one God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do we have in our possessions materials, books, DVDs that is offensive to God? Are we still flirting around with pornography? Are we still having DVDs and tapes of movies in our homes that you will be ashamed to expose? Are there things that we do? Are we in an unequally yoked relationship? I'll talk about this again and again. Because when we take the first step of disobedience, it is the beginning of darkness. When we take the first step of disobedience, it is the beginning of rationalization.
It's the first step of walking away from the Holy Spirit. It's the first step of moving away from the light and stepping into darkness. Any disobedient act, any posture, any attitude, any value, like in the cell group, if there's an attitude of rebellion, not submitting to the cell leader, not flowing with the church, you are taking a step into darkness. You are grieving the Holy Spirit. And if you continue in that direction, you will get into trouble. That's why we mentioned again and again, it's so important to be plucked into the body life of the church. Alright? The anointing within connects us to the Father and Jesus and reveals the Father and Jesus. Ephesians 1:17-19, the NIV version says that he is the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know God better. The Holy Spirit will always reveal. In fact, it is the Holy Spirit in Romans 5:5 that will pour the love of Father God into our hearts. It is the Holy Spirit that will unpack the Word of God and reveal. You know, just early this week, I understand there is a video circulating around. All right, I'm not going to promote it. All right, but some of you may have seen it, where it shows a lesbian pastor, a lady in a lesbianic relationship with another lady. But it's a very, very well-made video that seeks to tug at your heart. Like, what's wrong with that? And set in a HDB setting, in a hawker center, as though this is a very accepted lifestyle. It's like the serpent going to Adam and Eve in Genesis. Did God really say you cannot eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Throwing doubts. You see, church, we are not just born again yesterday. We need to know the Word. We need to know the truth. That a lesbianic active relationship or a homosexual active relationship does not please God. In fact, the Bible used a very strong word. It is an abomination. I believe in the coming weeks, we're going to hear of more things through the social media. We need to be discerning. All right? The devil is going to whisper into your ear, what's wrong? What's wrong if you participate in this, that, or the other? It is wrong. The Bible says two things. I'm giving two scriptures. Hebrews 1:9, God wants us to learn to love righteousness and hate wickedness. I commend the 500 over of you that are going for momentum tonight and tomorrow. All right? That's one scripture, Hebrews 1:9. The other one is Isaiah 5:20. Do not call evil good. Don't mix it up. Don't call evil good. And don't participate with friends. They are friends. All right? Make your stand. If they are so strong in their stand, you have to be strong in your stand as to what you believe in, as to what is truth and what is right. So the Holy Spirit will help us to do that. In John 4:22-23, we are told to worship God in spirit and in truth. In spirit means from our heart. In truth means it must be in line with scriptures. That means the worship songs that we sing, I require the worship leaders and so forth to go through the songs. It must be scriptural. We cannot sing anything that contradicts the Word of God. Philippians 3:3, I love this one. We worship God in the spirit. We put no confidence in the flesh. It's the Holy Spirit that directs our spirit to connect with the Spirit of God. Therefore, encouraging all of us here, when we come into the presence of God, connect with God. Sense the presence of God. Our confidence is not in the musical instruments or the talents of our musicians. They are all very talented. But our confidence is not there. Our audio and visual crew, great. I just commended them this morning. All right, the wonderful, beautiful slides and the sound system today is well done compared with yesterday. Very well done. All right. And now you see them all wearing these funny things over their ears, right? We're trying out this in-ear system, okay? We're still adjusting. We have no confidence in all this, meaning that we don't depend on them. Our confidence is only in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6 and Jude 20, we pray in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? To pray in the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit sets the agenda. The Holy Spirit directs us as to when to pray, what to pray for, how to pray, how long to pray, who to pray for. Praying in tongues is a subset of praying in the Spirit. Alright? I know in some circles they interpret these verses to say that praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. It's only one subset. Alright? Praying in the Spirit is a lot more. In Galatians 5, we are told to be walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to keep in the step of the Spirit. Simply what I'm sharing with you, Holy Spirit, take full control over all my faculties. Holy Spirit, take full control over my mind, the way I think, the way I feel, the way I decide. Okay? And Jesus walked in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now we come to the major application. The whole purpose of the anointing within is that we may experience His continual guidance 24/7, 365. Alright, everybody read 1 John 2:27. 1, 2, 3. But so the anointing within you and I, and it says here, it teaches us all things. Not just Bible study, cell group, church, and so forth. All things. What do you cook for dinner? How do you bake a cake? Alright? The situation in the office, how to do sales, how to connect with your customers, financial freedom. All things He will teach you. Okay? And I want to go through for the next 10 minutes or so, this whole point about hearing God, decision making, guidance. I want us all as believers, if you're in BBPC, to demystify this whole thing about hearing God. We all can hear God. I'm going to teach you from scriptures, alright, how you hear God on a daily, continual basis. How you know the will of God. How to be guided by Him. This is the purpose of the anointing within. It is not just the privilege of the elders or the pastors or certain godly men or anointed men. It's for all of us. God wants every one of us in this new covenant that we may know Him and walk with Him. Okay? So in all aspects, in relationships, like amongst the young people, the guys, I mean, thank God we have about 600-700 young adults from the late teens to the mid to late 30s. Alright? And in your stage when you're deciding about a relationship, is it April, May or June? You're not talking about the month. Alright? It refers to certain individuals. In the area of studies, what do you study? Do you study locally? Do you study overseas? Do you go to the polytechnic route? Or you have parents with children? In the areas of financial freedom, I just prayed for somebody yesterday about a change of job, a potential change of job. Shall you move? The job is and then there's an offer now. How is the Holy Spirit guiding you? In the area of your health, you go and see the GP, there's a lump underneath your left armpit, and then this GP just say, oh, it's cancerous. Send fears through your spine from the back of your head to your toes. Is that the final answer? Holy Spirit, what shall I do? Alright? This GP says it may be cancerous. In the area of how do I walk spiritually? So all these things we need to hear God. How do we hear God? There are two fundamental ways God speaks. Always remember, everything in life whole, but whole loosely. Two things in life you hold very tightly. Number one, the Word of God. The Word of God will give us principles, laws of life, in relationships, in our health, in our work, in our finances. Alright? It's all in the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. Therefore, ignorance is not bliss. Thank God you are in church today. I know it's a long weekend. You should be taken off to Bangkok or Batam or Johor Bahru, right? But you are here, which is good. Alright? Hearing the Word of God. And secondly, how do we get the details of the guidance? The details of the guidance comes from the Holy Spirit of wisdom. Okay, let me elaborate further. So from the Word of God, we get direction. The Word of God gives us broad principles. So for example, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, do not be unequally yoked. April, May or June, June is an unbeliever. So June is out. You do not want to pursue a relationship with June, alright, to be a potential lifelong partner. Is it April or May? Both are believers, but May is lukewarm. And you look potentially at May, you look at a mother. Remember the story? And May is not someone that will share your passion for the Lord. You want to walk closely with God, you want to serve Him. Alright? That's how you make those decisions. So it gives us broad guidelines. Alright? So the Holy Spirit will give us details. And this is known as the inward witness, Romans 8:16. The details will come, remember, the journey is as important as the end point. The process is very important. Okay? So, He will guide you to sort out the details in the following ways. Number one, the Holy Spirit will direct you to people in your life. He will direct you to people in your life. So, pay attention to the people in your life. You want to buy a flat, let's say in Dion Church, alright? You want to buy in Simei. You want to buy a HDB flat, you want to buy a 5-room or 4-room. Then you talk to the people. Don't talk to your pastor or your cell leader. They may know nuts about HDB flats. Okay? So talk to a property agent, but not any property agent. I mean, in BBTC, there's probably 40 or 50 property agents. You talk to a property agent who specializes in the flats in Simei. Don't talk to a property agent that specializes in Lim Chu Kang. No use. All right? So how do you arrive as to who to talk to? Always ask God, who is the Holy Spirit? He's the Spirit of wisdom. Ask Him for wisdom. Ask Him for a divine connect. That's why we firmly believe nothing happens by chance. Ask for a divine appointment, a divine connect, that God will arrange for you to meet someone who happens to be a property agent, who specializes in Simei, and give you the right answers. You don't want to be traveling all over Singapore. You don't want to be in the wilderness. All right? You want to make an effective decision. Same thing, the armpit. Not armpit, the lump underneath the armpit. So what do? Thousands of doctors, thousands of oncologists. All right? So, Lord, who do you do? Do you call Glen Eagles? Do you call SGH, CGH? All right? And all the H? You don't. All right? You check around. You ask around. You get people to pray. And the Lord will refer you. Ah, okay, I know of someone. Go and call this person. This is the number. The Lord will orchestrate your circumstance. Nothing occurs by chance. Which school to study and so forth. You need to go through who to talk to. All right? The relevant teachers and so forth. So He will direct you to resources. Go and Google. Thank God today we got Google. Alright? Buy a HDB flat. Alright? What to look for. Okay? And so forth. You can Google. You can do a search. You can Wikipedia. You can whatever. Alright? Attend conferences. Attend seminars. Things to read. Ask God to direct you to resources that will help you to make that decision. Thirdly, ask God to intervene in your situation. I was talking to this businessman. Business has been dry for 14 months. I said, what's wrong? Alright? Sort out, pray, cover, dealt with, alright, all the issues. And finally says, Lord, would you grant me, ask the guy. The guy prayed, Lord, would you give me wisdom and would you give me favor? Lord, I need favor. The Lord gave him two deals, and the two deals he made, what he would have made in the previous 14 months. You see, God's arm is not short. He can intervene and exponentially catch up. What the locusts have eaten, God can restore and He can double it. This is our God. That's why He's known as the Redeemer God. He can step into time. What you have lost in the many years or the many months, He can step in and intervene. So ask for the divine download and so forth. And then He speaks through dreams, visions, spiritual gifts, words of knowledge and so forth. I know of people who come to church, alright, let's say for example, there's a sharp pain on the right shoulder, alright, and before you come to church, you pray, Lord, I'm coming to church to worship You. And Lord, would You give this vision, this word of knowledge to the intercessors? And that this word of knowledge will be announced. That I know, Lord, that it is You, and I'm bingo. Some of you have prayed that. We heard testimonies of that. A word of knowledge was given. And remember, we always say, if it means something to you, it means something to you. It means nothing to the people around you. And you responded to the word in faith, you are prayed over, you are healed. That's how it works. But is it every word, every dream? No. Some dream is because you eat too much char kway teow. Right? So, which is why we're going to go through a process afterwards. We need to discern. Fifthly, this is very important. This is how God speaks to us all the time. Everybody read Hebrews 8:10. 1, 2, go. For this... Okay, here in color, He put His laws in their mind and write it on their hearts. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, He puts it the other way around. He will put His laws in their hearts and He will write it in their minds. Alright, so no, we're not going to quarrel with that, alright? So there are five words here, you need to pay attention. The first word is the word laws. And in Psalms 19, different words are used. Statutes, commandments, ordinances, instruction, guidance, the word of the Lord, Rima. Okay? So it's basically meaning God speaking to you. Alright? His laws. Number two, mind. The mind is where we think. The condition here is that the mind must be surrendered to God. The mind must be renewed. And the mind is our thinking faculty. That means it means something to you. It makes sense to you. It must be rational to you. It may be irrational to the people around you. But it must make sense to your mind. Thirdly, is your heart. Your heart, my heart, is the seed of our emotions, of how we feel, how we are emotionally inclined. Alright? So remember, we have a personality. Our personalities is distinguished from each other in the way we think, our mind, in the way we feel, our emotions, and in the way we decide. Alright? So God works through our personality. Some of us, we are more cerebral, we are more thinkers. Alright? Some of us are more feelers. Doesn't matter, we are more or less, or the combination of all this. Who knows? God knows. Okay? So, He will put in our mind, He put in our heart. And the word put, if I place this clicker in your hand, if I give it in your hand, I put it in your hand, you receive it immediately. So the idea of put is immediate receipt of the word. Immediate download. Okay? Write. Writing takes time. Writing means God is still speaking to you. He is still downloading. That means it's not over. Now, how long is the time depending on the issue, the decision to be made? Is it a capital expenditure to buy a car? Is it a capital expenditure to get married? Get married is a major decision, alright? A capital expenditure to buy a HDB flat. Okay? Major decisions and minor decisions. So sometimes it takes time. Okay? And he's still writing. For some, he writes hours, some he writes days, some are weeks, some are months. Alright? So we're clear about this. So let's apply this. April, May, or June. Alright? So after you go through the process, how do you go through the process? He will guide us to know the facts, which is knowledge. So you make up your mind about April and May and June. June, non-believer. May, lukewarm. Alright? Doctor's opinion, this other doctor says, no, it's benign. Go for a test, a blood test, and so forth. We need to know. We need to have understanding. How to have understanding? We need to analyze. 1 Corinthians 14 says, we need to weigh the prophecies. Don't take it lock, stock, barrel. Weigh it. Alright? And then what is wisdom? Wisdom is applied knowledge and understanding. So these three keys must align. There must be knowledge, there must be understanding, and there must be wisdom. Then we are confident to know this is the will of God. We are confident that this is God's guidance for that matter, for that agenda, for that problem, for that situation. Okay? In the process, we need to always know that there are three sources of thoughts. Three sources of ideas. Three sources of suggestions, of propositions. One is from men. Alright? Two is from the evil one who seeks to interfere. And three is from the Holy Spirit. Okay? So very simple. Alright? So what do? When we draw near to God, we want to eliminate the evil one. Eliminate the evil one. Get out of my life. I don't want to hear your thoughts. Thoughts of fear. What if, what, certain economists on the one hand, on the other hand, Make up your mind. What do you want to do? Which hand? Alright? So we have to eliminate the evil one. How? By the blood. We come under the blood. We enter the holiest, the presence of God, by the blood of the Lamb. The devil will stay far away. And how does he stay far away? We submit to God, we resist the devil. Remember the War Room movie. Submit to God, pray. Resist the devil, in Jesus' name, you evil spirit, you lying spirit, you deceiving spirit, get out of my mind. Go, in Jesus' name. Alright? Submit to God, pray as a priest, resist the devil as a king. Take authority, in Jesus' name. Alright? And then what is left is the Lord and you. Three sources, eliminate the one source, the Lord and you. And what do? God desires to always want to guide us. God always wants to guide us. He's already made the first move. Therefore, that's why the Bible says when we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. So, always desire to be guided by God. And then the area of overlap is where God's will is your will and your will is God's will. This area of overlap is dynamic. It is not fixed. Sometimes it grows where there's a larger area of overlap. Sometimes it shrinks depending on the agenda, depending on your walk with Him, depending on the issue, how much it bothers you, depending on the weightage of the decision that needs to be made, alright, and so on and so forth. Okay? So, but God always will guide us. Then we need to learn to hear and receive the Word of God, which comes in different forms to different personalities. For some of us, we get a proposal, an idea, a download, an instruction. Okay? For some of us, we have a certain feeling. For some of us, we see pictures. Alright? That's why you hear from the words of knowledge. Some people, they say, I see a person. I see a person sitting on a rock with waterfall, waters under his feet and so forth. Alright? It means nothing but for certain people, it means something. Okay? Some people see pictures. And sometimes the pictures they see makes no sense to them. It only makes sense to the recipient, the intended recipient of the word of God for the person. Alright? So, some people, there's a recollection of a memory of a past incident. I was talking to this lady leader. She was in KL recently. Alright? And she was ministering to this other lady, who is a wife of one of the leaders. And this other lady shared that she has difficulty reading the Bible. Sometimes when she read the Bible, she yawns. She reads the Bible, she have no interest. So our BBTC lady, very anointed, all right, from RTF, she learned. What is that thing? That means there is an occultic interference. So she asked the lady, are you from a non-Christian family? No, my Christian family. All right. And as she continued to talk, within 2 minutes, this other lady said, yeah, I recall. Her mother is the second wife of her... Wrong. Her grandmother, her first grandmother, all right, was a non-believer, all right, who is the wife of her grandfather, all right, and the second, something like that. Anyway, the first grandmother was the one who was non-believer, and she had a picture. The Lord gave her a picture when she was a girl, 4, 5, 6 years old. She was running around and chanting with a Buddhist flag. She was participating in these rituals. And it was very simple. The Lord gave her a recollect of a memory, and then what do you do? What does she need to do? She just need to bring it under the blood, repent of it, close this door, and then the Lord will enable her to read the scriptures and have revelation. By the way, this is what normally happens during the RTF ministering session. In one of the sessions in RTF is called SSH, Soul and Spirit Hurt, where the ministry giver will guide and prompt the ministry receiver. Let's pray. Let's invite the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's close your eyes for the next 1 minute. Alright? And let the Lord bring you back to the incident, to that hurt, to that problem, and the Holy Spirit will reveal. I can there share with you 80, 90, 90 odd percent will receive breakthroughs. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings us back. He gives us those memories, and for the purpose of closing the loop, for the purpose of closing the doorway, sealing the foothold, so that the evil one has got no more inroads into your life to stumble you and to be an obstacle. So the decision-making process is very simple. If you are 20-30%, you are not inclined, the answer is no. If you are 70-80% inclined, it is yes. Alright? There are two caveats. The first caveat is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. You must trust God with all your heart. And what is the evidence of your trusting God? You soak that matter in prayer. You acknowledge Him in all your ways. The second caveat is this. You must make that inclined decision by faith. Don't be double-minded. Don't, on the one hand, what if this will happen? If you are double-minded and revert back to your old ways, Romans 14, 23 says, whatever is not from faith is sin. I go to before the Lord. I say, Lord, what should I preach about you, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit? How do I plan the pulpit? How do I provide direction for the church? All right. So after you pray, when the downloads come, eliminate the evil one. When the downloads come, talking to people. Remember, God can use donkey to talk to Balaam. He can use any donkey. All right. So the Lord has been sending, okay, not donkeys. The Lord has been sending people to me. All right. To speak to me and to counsel me and so forth. So I must listen to their counsel. And then I must discern. And after I'm inclined towards a certain decision, decide by faith. That's how He guides and leads. Okay? So the bottom line of the anointing within, I've spent 80% of this time emphasizing this, because this is for all of us to know the Holy Spirit, to know His guidance 24/7, 365. Okay? Now, the last 10 minutes, we need to know and experience the anointing on or the anointing upon. This is from Old Testament to New Testament. The anointing within is from Pentecost, New Testament, New Covenant. The anointing upon is throughout scriptures, throughout time. And this is temporary for the occasion and the assignment. It is temporary. That means it is not always there. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson and he killed the lion with his bare hands. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David and he slew the Philistine. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul and he prophesied. Okay? So it's for an assignment from the Lord where the Spirit of the Lord will come upon the believer. This is also known as to be clothed and endued with power from on high. In Luke 24, after Jesus resurrected, he told the disciples, wait in Jerusalem tarrying in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit is poured down, until Pentecost. And then you should be clothed. It's the idea of wearing a clothing. It's the idea of wearing a cloak. It's the idea of wearing an armor. An armor that will give you strength, power, energy, empowerment, enablement. Alright? Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit coming on or upon the believers. They shall be witnesses of Jesus. When it actually happened, Acts 2:4 says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this lingo, we are more familiar. And this lingo is repeated in Ephesians 5:18 that we need to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. You drive a car. After a week, 10 days, the petrol level goes down. You go to the petrol station, you top up your car. After about another half an hour, you already expended energy this whole morning since breakfast. You've been walking around, you've been talking to people, you've been, whatever you've been doing, you've been expending physical energy, right? So after that, you got to eat lunch to top up your physical energy. So similarly, as I preach, every time you minister to somebody, you are expending spiritual energy. Every time you pray for somebody, you are expending spiritual energy. The worship team, each time they sing unto the Lord, we are expending spiritual energy. Where does it come from? Remember the woman with the issue of blood? When she touched the hem of Jesus' cloak, Jesus knew. The disciples says, Lord, come on, the crowd is all around you. But what did Jesus say? Power left me. So every ministry requires spiritual energy. And that's why Jesus needs to top it up by spending time with the Father. Okay? So the purpose is to receive power from God for enablement. Before Jesus ministered, he went into the temple and he quoted this from Isaiah 61. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He needs the anointing upon to preach. That is, I need the anointing upon to preach. So all of us, when you minister, you're counseling somebody, you need to expend spiritual energy. Everything that you do for the Lord in the ministry, you need spiritual energy. Anything that you do for your family, you need spiritual energy. The mother and the child, husbands and wives, in your workplace, all right, as you speak to your colleagues. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. 1, 2, 3. As each one... Right? We all have a gift. We minister to each other. We administer the grace of God. And when we speak, you speak the oracles of God. So in your family altar, mother speaking to your children, all right, those sitting at the back, your children in KFC, all right, you're speaking the oracles of God, and you need to do so as the Holy Spirit enables you. If anyone ministers, if anyone serves, do it as with the ability, with the strength that God supplies. I say, Lord, I need your supernatural strength. This is a very packed weekend. Alright, after this tonight is momentum. Reminder about momentum tonight and tomorrow. Okay, you need supernatural strength, which God supplies. And after you have ministered, you are expended, you are exhausted. So what do you need to do? You need to top up. How do you top up? Pray. How do you top up? Read the Word of God. How do you top up? Worship. How do you top up? Ask God to top you up spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and so forth. Okay, so there are different anointing for different assignments. And let me just give you some examples. We need a leadership anointing. Thank God for our elders. There is a leadership anointing to provide direction for the church. We need an administrative anointing to produce order. Thank God for our sister Polian. I don't see her here. Alright, somewhere around. Alright, to produce order. She's very good. Excel spreadsheet, order, computer, website, server, and so forth. An administrative anointing. We need a healing anointing that will release health. You know, you go to certain elders, certain pastors, certain leaders to pray for you. Because you know that this particular leader or that particular leader has got a healing anointing. You go to different leaders for different things. We need a psalmist anointing to facilitate worship. In the worship team, I don't get involved in everything. But I will only involve in one thing now, which is to approve who are worship leaders. All our worship leaders can facilitate worship because I want to look for that psalmist anointing. From our worship pastor Jesse to Samuel who is leading today, to Joel, to Yuling, to Adrian, alright, the psalmist anointing. We need a wisdom anointing to eliminate uncertainty and ambiguity. We pray this for all the leaders in the church, every cell leader. You need the wisdom anointing to shepherd the flock. All right? And we need a pastoral, we need a prophetic anointing to reveal the word of God. Our brother Sam Walston, he's got a prophetic anointing. Very clear. I hear 8 or 9 out of every 10 is spot on. He's got a prophetic anointing. As he comes and prays for you, he sees very clearly a picture of you and the Lord downloads to him. He gives the word of the Lord. He reveals the will of God for your, for the person, for the situation, for whatever you're going through or whatever you're struggling with. This is the prophetic anointing. And some people have an evangelist anointing to release the power of the gospel to save. I thank God for my brother Jeffrey Goh. He has an evangelist anointing. All right. Whenever he preaches and shares the gospel, a teaching anointing brings clarity of the word of God. And we pray this for all our cell leaders, supervisors, to be able to teach the word of God. And then a pastoral shepherding anointing who will go the second mile, the third mile, to love, to comfort. All right. And this is in some of the leaders opening up their homes, being hospitable. All right. Cooking meals, cooking char siu, frying vegetables, bringing young couples. All right. They have got a shepherding anointing to care. To care for the people under the flock, alright? So, and this is not exhaustive. I think of people who are creative, involved in drama, involved in creative things through the social media, and so on and so forth. We need everybody involved, alright, to serve the Lord, okay? The purpose is to receive power from God to walk in holiness. And I just want to focus on this diagram, which you have seen before. We're talking about the anointing upon. Quick summary, the law of gravity always pulls us down. It is like the law of sin and death. Paul said in Romans 7, the things he ought not to do, he did. The things he should not do, but again, he did. The things he ought to do, but he failed to do. All right. So he tries by his mind, the willpower or the law of his will, but he finds that the law of the mind or the law of the will is inferior to the law of sin and death. So what overcomes the law of sin and death? What overcomes gravity? The law of aerodynamics or the law of upthrust. Gravity is G, the law of aerodynamics. An aeroplane flies at 2G, 3Gs. The fighter aircraft can do acrobatic acts because they've got power in the engine that overcomes gravity and they can fly and do acrobatic acts in the air. Similarly, what overcomes sin, our addictions, is only the Holy Spirit. There is no condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1 says, for all who are in Christ Jesus, how? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. I've shared this before, I'll just share this again, alright? I mentioned that when I was very young, I was very exposed to pornography. I'd love to go to my cousin's house, alright? My uncle was a chef sailing on a ship, go around the world, bring back your Playboy, Playgirl, and all the kinds of magazines. So I grew up all the way, even though I knew the Lord when I was a teenager, serving God in the Scripture Union, in the Varsity Christian Fellowship, even when I was a deacon in the church and a near elder, alright, in all my travel in the banking world, pornography. There was no total victory, alright, until my late 30s, in the early 90s, when the Lord revealed that behind pornography is a dirty, filthy spirit. Then I realized and learned, submit to God, resist the devil. So one day in the office, they're sitting as usual, all my young lady executives sitting there with their short skirts, tight blouses. The thought came to my mind, all right? So what took years? Then I said, Lord, pray as a priest, submit to God. I want to have total victory over this area. And then as a king, I say, you dirty, foul, evil, unclean, contaminating spirit, get out of my life now. And the next phrase is very important. You have no more hold over me. In the name of Jesus, go. Something left me, I can't explain, all right, within the next 1 minute. And from that day to today, all right, we have total victory. Does it mean that I don't look at girls? I mean, there's so many beautiful girls and ladies and women here, all right. So what do? You see, but you don't see, like playing tennis, you know. You hit a ball, and the ball bounces back. So your eyes see, and it bounces. You do not allow your eye, like what Jesus says in Matthew 5, for the 20th look to lust. I want to share that addiction to pornography. I was having this discussion with a group of senior pastors just 3 days ago. And one of these senior pastors was just remarking that in his church now, there's a lot of victory, there's a lot of testimonies of people overcoming pornography, adultery, fornication. Young people who are couples in relationship, fornication. Alright? What we need to do is we need to break those soul ties, give the devil no ground, we can have total victory. This arrow shows that if you are walking with God and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you can self-deliver. 1 John 1:9. You can self-deliver and walk in victory. But if you continue in that sin, in that habit, you will come to a stage of bondage. When you give the evil one a ground, a foothold, a doorway. And that's where you need the ministry of the body of Christ. That's why we mentioned about RTF, the altar call, and so forth. So in summary, what are we talking about? In summary, it's all about living our lives in total dependency on God. In summary, the anointing within is about knowing the guidance of the Holy Spirit 24/7, 365. It's talking about the anointing upon is about receiving power when we surrender to Him. Receiving power to overcome sins, to receive power to overcome habits, and to receive power to minister. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You again for Your Word. We thank You for Your love for each one of us. We thank You for the reminder that You have given us the Holy Spirit. And even as Paul told the Christians in Corinth, don't you know that the Holy Spirit is in you? In you. You heard the Word of God. But some of you struggle in your relationship with God. You seem unable to read the Word of God. You seem unable to pray. You seem unable to make progress in your spiritual life. And somehow or other, there's some obstacle. You get easily distracted. You want to draw near to God. You want to walk in victories. But spiritually, your walk with God is up, down, up, down. There is no consistency. There's no vibrancy. There's no fire in your walk with God. On the one hand, you desire, but on the other hand, you struggle. The Lord is speaking to this first group of persons. If this is you, would you just raise your hand to God and say, Lord, would You help me? Every eye closed, every head bowed. I see some hands. Those in the gallery as well. There's another category of people, you are struggling with sins. I'm calling it sins, as the Bible calls it. And you don't seem to have total victory. You're still stuck. You know you are in bondage. Whether it's pornography, whether it's fornication, whether it's adultery, whether it's stealing, whether it's a loose tongue, whether it is an outburst, you have a temper tantrum. Most of the time you're okay, but once in a while when you are triggered wrongly, you lose your temper. Today the Holy Spirit is speaking, would you surrender that area? You can have total victory. You can walk in total victory. There is no condemnation, the Bible says, for all those who will surrender to Jesus, who do not walk according to their flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. Are you in this category? Would you raise your hand to the Lord? Says, Lord, would You help me? Okay, I see many of your hands. Can put your hands down. We're going to worship the Lord now. We're going to sing the same song. More love, more power. I'll say two things. Number one, the Lord has spoken to you. He's tugging your heart. Just come to the front and respond to the Lord. And says, Lord, help me. Surrender yourself totally to Him. Alright? And worship the Lord. And ask Him for more love in your heart and more power to overcome these areas in your life. Secondly, I want to say, there's no shame. We are in the family of God. We are all here together. Let's pray for one another. The Holy Spirit is here. Alright? So let's lift up our heads now. Let's open our eyes. Let's worship the Lord. As the Lord has spoken to you, those up in the gallery, and those of you who have raised your hands or you have not raised your hands, let's come.
More power, more of You in my life. More love, more power, more of You in my life. And I will worship You with all of my heart. And I will worship all of my mind.
Just pluck up the courage
and I will worship You with
Ask the Lord more love, more power. Pray after me. Father God, I thank you for loving me so deeply. I thank you, Jesus. You are my Savior. Jesus, you are my Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you dwell in me. I ask of you, from this moment onwards, that you reveal to me the obstacles, the hindrances, to my greater intimacy with you. That you give me the strength, you give me the grace to deal with them, to overcome them. Help me to walk closer with you. Anoint my eyes to see the things that you point out to me. Consecrate my ears to hear you clearly, O Holy Spirit. I ask for power. I ask for strength to be victorious, to be so blessed, so that I can be a blessing to others, so that I can minister your grace, O Lord, to the people that you bring into my life. So I thank you for your word. Lord, I receive your word. The Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I will walk in freedom. I will walk in victory. For I am a child of the Most High God. Lord, I surrender my life to you. I give of myself completely to you, O Lord. Help me, instruct me, teach me, and guide me in the way I should go. I give you thanks. I give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, give him praise. Yes.